Good afternoon, everyone. Please open your Bible to the book of Luke, chapter 18. Luke, chapter 18, verses 35 through 43. All right. I don't like to brag and toot my own horn, but this week I'm going to choo-choo-ka-choo. Last week was my best sermon ever. Yeah, best. The reason was because it was the shortest sermon ever. It was 18 minutes long. It was awesome. Yeah. The reason it was 18 was before preaching, I asked, Lord, what do you want me to say? How should I preach? I have this text. I've prepared a sermon. How do you want me to preach? And he said, just make it short. It's fine. And so I prayed again today. Lord, what do you want me to say? How shall I preach? And he says, it doesn't have to be that long. Yeah, so. I don't know if this is going to be the best sermon, but I hope it's the Lord will accept it. Amen? Okay, let's read together Luke chapter 18. Verse 35 to 43, it's not long. And yeah, we'll just start from the beginning. Are you ready? Let's read together. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. And they told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And he called out, Jesus, Son of David! Have mercy on me. And those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. And when he came near, Jesus asked him, What do you want me to do for you? Lord, I want to see, he replied. And Jesus said to him, Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they also praised God. The very word of God. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, well, a simple story of a blind man being healed. But I want to tell you now, this is more than just a miracle. This is not only a story of one man having his eyes opened by Jesus. This is more, much, much more. The subject is, Lord, I want to see. This is the word from the blind man when Jesus asked him, What do you want? What do you want me to do for you? Man, I want Jesus to come to me and ask me that question. Chris, what do you want me to do for you? Yeah, but the truth is, you know, on the cross, it's like, what more can I do for you? I've given everything I could give you. But this blind man says, I want to see. It's interesting because Jesus knows. I mean, he's blind, right? And Jesus is a poor homeless man. He's not going to give him money. And he's a healer. Obviously, he's going to give him his sight. But still, Jesus asks. His name is Bartimaeus. This is from Mark chapter 10. What do you want me to do? So Jesus is teaching us faith, because Jesus says it's your faith that healed you. What is faith? Faith is an inward conviction that has outward expression. That's faith. Faith is an inward conviction which has an outward result. It has an outward expression. It says, Jesus, Son of David, Lord, I want to see. And so Jesus is, what he's doing is, Jesus loves to hear the expressions of faith. I really think so, because Jesus, he knows what this man wants, but Jesus wants to hear him say it. And maybe, on the other hand, Jesus knows this blind man needs to say it. Everybody knows what this blind man wants. The blind man knows what he wants. But Jesus is drawing out the physical, audible expression of the inward spiritual condition. That's what faith is. That's what faith does. Our faith is an inward conviction that compels us. As Darcy said in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, the love of God compels us. The love of God in Jesus compelled this blind man to speak what he desired. Hallelujah. So, Lord, I want to see. Man, I'm just so excited right now. I want to see. This is not only about physical sight. And I want to give you three reasons, and then we're done. This is more than just God giving a man physical sight. It's about giving the world eternal salvation. It's more than just physical sight. This is about eternal salvation. Let me give you the first thing. This is a blind man. But the story in front of this is, if you, it's not up here. You need to have your Bible open, or your Bible app. And it starts at verse 35, but there's a story from verse 29 in chapter 18. And you can turn there if you like. I'm just going to tell you what happened. Just before this episode, Jesus is walking with his disciples, and he tells them, we're on our way to Jerusalem. I'm going to be arrested. I'm going to be mocked. I'm going to be beaten. And I'm going to be killed. And that's how I'm going to save the world, because after I'm killed, I'm going to be buried and then rise again. Chapter 18, verse 33, they will flog me and kill me, and on the third day I will rise again. That's what Jesus says. And then in verse 34, it says, the disciples did not understand. That's the word. The disciples did not understand any of this. The disciples did not see what Jesus was talking about. Its meaning was hidden from them, and they did not know what he was talking about. And then we have this story about the blind man. Now, what's interesting about this story of healing, I'm sorry, I'm wandering around because this thing is in my way. So, but I know I have to preach behind it. But it's like there's a wall. Anyway, I'm sorry. So, it's interesting because
This story of healing, it's in the wrong place in this Bible. The healing section of Jesus' ministry is finished. All of the healings healing the lepers and raising the sick and casting out demons and feeding 5,000 people, all of those miracles and healings and ministry of the deeds of Jesus, that finished in Luke chapter 9. You don't see any more miracles after that, except for these two. In Luke 17, Jesus is teaching about forgiveness. And in order to illustrate the necessity of forgiveness, Luke gives the story of Jesus healing 10 lepers. And so Luke is connecting, watch it now, a forgiving heart with a forgiving, with a healing, with a healed body. Jesus says, or Luke is teaching us in Luke 17, your healing is directly related to your forgiveness. When you forgive others, there's a healing that happens to your body and soul. That's one miracle to illustrate a spiritual principle. Are you with me? Okay, so now we're in this chapter, in Luke chapter 18. One more miracle to illustrate another spiritual reality. Okay? And the spiritual reality is this. The disciples did not understand the purpose of Jesus' mission. He told them, I'm here to die on a cross and rise on the third day. What are you talking about, Lord? Stop that silly talk. Get out of here with that. Satan, get behind me. They did not understand. It says three times. They didn't understand. They couldn't see it. They didn't know what he was talking about. And now Luke is saying, they're blind. But they come across a blind man who can see. There's a woman named Helen Keller, a very famous woman. She was both blind and deaf. And they said, Ms. Keller, oh, she's an amazing author. She got her master's degree, a bachelor's degree. She's a brilliant writer. And they asked her, Miss Keller, it must be terrible. How difficult life must be to be both blind and deaf. And she answered very simple. It's better to see with the eyes of your heart than to be blind with your own eyes. Here is a blind man who understood who Jesus was. Whereas you had 12 men who were with Jesus every day, they could not understand what he was doing. Do you see how this is more than just a miracle? Luke is giving us a message. There are people that never will understand why Jesus came to earth. There are people who think that Jesus is just another man. Look what the crowd says in verse 35. In verse 37. They told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. Right? What's the very next verse? The blind man called out, Jesus of Nazareth, have mercy on me? No. Right? Jesus, son of Joseph, have mercy on me? No. Everybody around him thought it's just another carpenter from the podunk town of Nazareth. But this blind man knew, no, this is the son of David. The son of David. What's happening here? For all you who want to learn the scripture, This is a wonderful chance. David, the greatest king of Israel. He was a man that was chasing after God with all his heart. He was a king that established the power of Israel, the position of Israel, the place. The problem is, he died. So his son became the next king. And the next son became the next king. The next son, the next son. David was the greatest king who led Israel. And then after that, Israel became worse and worse and worse and worse. It became so bad in Israel that God sent another country to conquer her. And Israel was exiled to a foreign land called Babylon. Now, while they were in exile, away from their home country, away from their land, God sent prophets and he promised them, I'm going to come back as a king. I'm going to send the son of David. I'm going to send one from the royal line. I'm going to send a prophet and a king. He will be the son of David, and he is going to bring back the people of God. So Israel, for 400 years, they were conquered by the Romans. They were first conquered by the Babylonians, then the Greeks came in, and now it's the Romans. And they've been waiting for the son of David to break them free from the power of Rome, to conquer the oppressor. They're waiting for the son of David. And here's the thing, Yeshua ben David, Jesus the son of David. The other title is Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. Because Messiah means anointed one, anointed by the Holy Spirit. The king is anointed by the Holy Spirit. The son of David is anointed. Now the Greek name of Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach, is Yesu Kristo, Jesus the Christ. And this blind man was waiting for the Messiah, the hope of Israel. And the Messiah would not just be someone who helped them politically, economically, you know, geopolitically. It was more than just a president they were trying to find. They were trying to find a savior. The disciples didn't see that, but this blind man did. All right. Now, that's some Bible teaching. I think it was necessary. The disciples said it was Jesus of Nazareth. The blind man said, no. This is the son of David, and he will save my soul, not just give me sight. Because here's what Jesus did. Go all the way down to the end, towards verse 45. Okay? Verse 45. And you'll see there, verse 42. Jesus said to him, receive your sight. And then he says, your faith has healed you. This is the second reason that this is just more than a blind, a miracle story. That word healed in verse 42. Luke uses a very strange word. You can translate that word saved. You see, in the Greek language, there are other words for healed. There's therapeo, where we have our English word therapy, right? There's Yazumio, which sounds like the Japanese word for healing. Okay, yasu, right? But those two words are the typical words for healing. Jesus doesn't use that word. Jesus says sozo, which is save. It says, so Jesus is literally saying here, your faith has saved you. You see that? This is not just about a blind man receiving his sight. Jesus is saying, you not just received your sight, you received your salvation. This is not just your physical, temporary well-being. This is your spiritual, eternal restoration. Do you see that? Your faith has saved you. And so Jesus is saying, the disciples couldn't understand, but you being blind, you understand. And that faith has not just given you physical sight, it's given you eternal life. Whew. Hallelujah. Your faith has saved you. Well, it's a good thing I have all this faith. It's a good thing I'm so faithful. It's a good thing that I have power to believe. Really? Okay, is that what it means? Come on now. What's Jesus saying? Right? You have to build up your faith. You have to make your faith strong. No. This man could not heal himself. This man could not save himself. That's why he knew he needed Jesus. The disciples, the rest of us, here's what we think. And Darcy kind of touched on it. And I had to say, ouch, because it's true for me. Our tendency is, all right, I have something to give you, God. I have something to do. I have something to work so that I can earn it. And if I do something for God, God has to do something for me. I work, God owes. I labor, God pays. That's how we normally think as people. But Jesus has to open our eyes. And we have to understand, I have nothing to offer Jesus except my sin. I have nothing to contribute to this salvation except for the sin that makes it necessary. That's what we have to see. If you want salvation, if you want to be healed, if you want and desire eternal life, Lord, I want to see. You have to understand. I can't heal myself. I can't open my own eyes. I need Jesus. Lord, when I rise, Lord, when I'm alone, Lord, when I die, give me Jesus. Amen. Nothing but Jesus. So, this is more than just a healing. Now, we're going to finish with this one. What happens when you have your salvation? What happens when you receive your healing? Well, verse 43, he received his sight. Three things happened. He followed Jesus, number one, praising God, number two, and number three, the people saw it and they also praised God. That's it. You follow Jesus. You follow, and sometimes you get lost, and then Jesus says, I'm over here. Come over here. Okay, sorry. You go back, and you follow him, and then you get lost again, and Jesus says, I'm over here. Come, get out of there. Get out of that hole. Get out of that room. Get out of that website. Get out of that sin. Come, follow me. And he follows Jesus, praising God. And the result of him following Jesus and him praising God, other people praised God too. Brothers and sisters, we affect the praises of others. There's an influence that we have. Now here's the thing. We think we do it by our wisdom and our effort and our ability. I have to study, I have to prepare, I have to save, I have to do all of this. And then God will be happy, and I will be a minister, and I'll serve people. Yeah, that's an element, but you break it down to real simple, it's simplicity. Praise the Lord. That just live in worship. Here's what I mean. Christians have something that non-Christians don't have. We have joy and peace and the love of God. Now, why don't I have happiness and peace and joy that allows me to give to others and be so generous? Why do I get so easily angered? Why do I have such a short temper? Why am I always focused on myself? I'm getting to that in just a minute. You see, even in a country like this, where we're the wealthiest country in this region, next to China, where we're one of the richest countries in the world, we still have something to offer to this society. And let me give you one example. Last week, I was having a Bible study with 7th, 8th, and 10th grade students, Chun, Ichi, Chuni, and Koichi. We were having a Bible study. And the students usually pick the topic, and then I'll give the scripture to go with it. The topic that this Chuni student, this 8th grade student, chose for last week was suicide. Okay? Yeah. Because recently in Japan, three celebrities, a man, a woman, and another woman, committed suicide. Very famous people. And so he was like, what's happening? Right? What's happening with suicide in Japan? So here's what happens. When I came to Japan, the year 1999, suicide and depression was an epidemic in Japan. Everybody knew somebody with depression, if they weren't depressed themselves. And so from 2000 to 2010, it was just, Japan had one of the top suicide rates in the world. The government knew this and tried to do something about it. And so from 2011 until this year, the government has been putting money into programs, awareness, help, and phone numbers and hotlines, and it worked. The suicide rate in Japan has been steadily declining for the last 10 years in Japan. It's been getting better. And then 2020 happened. And in 2020, the pandemic hit. And I was reading an article from the Japan Times, October 9th. And the Japan Times had two articles on suicide. So here's the raw facts. In 2020, less than 2,000 people died from COVID-19, 2020, 2,000 people less. More than 13,000 people died through suicide, okay? So suicide has killed more than six times the number that COVID has killed. Do you see the difference? So there's hopelessness, there's despair, anxiety, just suicide happening all around us. We're living in the land of the valley of the shadow of death. What do Christians have? Our eyes have been opened. We have been healed. Simply, we praise God. We live in worship. We receive the joy of the Lord. Amen. We take the peace of Christ that surpasses all understanding, and we live in this land. And that needs to result in people coming to God and praising Him. That's all that does. So yes, we study. Yes, we prepare. Yes, we invite. And yes, we want to share the truth of the gospel and the scriptures. Okay? Yes, we do. But it is accompanied. It is clothed. It is wrapped in a spirit of praise. This man praised God. And when all the people saw that, they joined him praising God. A couple of women are here today. The reason they come to church is not necessarily for the Bible. They came because of the gospel choir. They came for the worship. They came for the singing. And let that be their avenue to salvation. One of them has come saved. We praise God when we receive our sight, when we receive our salvation from Jesus Christ. That's what this story is about. We worship, we praise, we live with joy and peace. So, how do you do that? This is it. I'm sorry, I said I'm almost done. Now I'm done. Okay. How do you do that? How did Jesus heal this man? He waved his arms, started a potion. No. Jesus took this man's blindness. Jesus became blind so that this man could see. Chris, where do you get that? A few weeks from now, Jesus will be arrested. He will be mocked. They're going to put a crown of thorns on his head. They're going to put a robe on his shoulders, saying, oh, you're the king. You're the Messiah. And then you know what they'll do? They'll put a blindfold over his eyes. And they're going to beat him. And they'll say, who hit you? Prophesy. Tell us who hit you. Jesus became blind. And on the cross, Jesus was hanging. And it became pitch black, complete darkness. It was the darkness that Jesus felt being separated from God the Father. Listen, as the children come and as we prepare for worship, Jesus experienced the blindness that we had so that we can have our eyes opened to who Jesus is. Jesus became blind and took the darkness so that our eyes could be opened and we could step into the light. Faith is not leaping into the dark. Faith is stepping into the light. And let your faith come to Jesus. And with your faith, find your salvation. So let's pray. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. See you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, Holy, Holy, Holy. So, Lord, we ask for you to save us, because we cannot save ourselves. And Lord, we rejoice in our salvation because of your great love. We thank you, we praise you, we worship you, we honor you. All power, all glory, all majesty be to your name, Jesus, the Son of David. Amen. All right, so we all rise and sing our closing song together.
Mighty to save.
Amen.